Somehow I'm remembering things like this now, but
it's impressive. After a while, it becomes second nature.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Like the script, like I remember the entire front page. For me, it's like, so weird to me.
I'm horrible with names and anything like that. It's just, I hear them and it just, I swear, just goes in one ear and out the other.
That's why I do bad on tests, honestly.
Yeah, I get that.
Not unless it's something I know, though, already.
Mm-hmm. All right, we got 3 minutes to go. We're streaming. Let me check your stream again.
Yep. Oh, okay. I sound way better than before. Okay, I'm
glad testing
I did
mine.
That.
Testing mine. Is mine good?
And mine.
Hold up. Wait. No, we'll go again.
Oh, hello. How's it going, everybody?
Check.
You're good.
Mic testing.
Okay, let me. Okay, go ahead again.
Yes, indeed.
That looks better.
All right. Okay, that looks way better. Okay, good. Mic testing. Okay. Nice, Phoebs. How we feeling?
I'm feeling great. We're gonna have to. Anything isn't the news really long this time?
Yep.
That's tough.
So if you need to like go and grab a drink or anything real quick before we go,
okay.
I usually do.
I'm just gonna walk around because my back's starting to get a little stiff, so I'm just gonna stretch before it starts.
All right, I'm gonna meet up quick, Phoebs.
Sounds good. You sound good on the stream.
All right, nice. Okay. I'm mute. Yo, welcome back to Clubhouse Radio, live from the Catskill Youth Clubhouse on 90.7 FM, WGXC, broadcasting Acreage Catskill Hudson. I'm your sound engineer, DJ Popcorn, and...
Hello, I'm your host. Hello, I'm your host, Winter. Today we're going to be having a guest on, and she is...
My name is Neva Wartell, and I am running for Greene County Legislator.
Right. So, we'll be back right after our local news and weather.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. I'm Philip Grant. Nick Reisman is reporting for State of Politics. New Yorkers have adapted to the COVID-19 pandemic, according to a Siena College poll released Thursday, October 21st. But at the same time, state residents have become less optimistic that the worst of the crisis is fully in the past. The poll was conducted after a summertime spike in COVID-19 cases and hospitalizations as the more contagious Delta variant of COVID-19 spread. The majority of the most serious cases and deaths are among unvaccinated people, and public health experts have affirmed the vaccine offers strong protections. The poll found the majority of New Yorkers believe the worst of the pandemic is now over, but still many believe the worst is yet to come. New Yorkers have also learned to live with the virus. 78% reported thinking about protecting themselves and their family from the coronavirus as they go about their day. 91% are comfortable or very comfortable with going to a grocery store. 73% are comfortable with eating inside a restaurant. 61% are confident going to work at the job they had before the pandemic. And 57% feel safe attending a movie. Wearing a mask is now an accepted aspect of daily life for nearly all New Yorkers. 91% reported carrying a mask anytime they leave home. Read the full story at NewYorkStateOfPolitics.com. Sam Rowdens is reporting for Columbia Green Media. The Columbia County Health and Human Services building on Columbia Street in Hudson will remain closed through Sunday, October 25th, after three positive COVID-19 exposures were reported earlier this week. County Board of Supervisors Chairman Matt Murrell said the building was closed October 20th out of an abundance of caution and will reopen after the weekend following a thorough cleaning. County Department of Health Director Jack Mabb said three building employees tested positive over the weekend. Approximately 150 people work in the building that houses the Department of Health and Human Services, the Columbia County Medical Health Center, the Columbia County District Attorney's Office, and the Office for the Aging. Mabb said contact tracing was done and the few who were exposed to the positive cases had been vaccinated. He said those vaccinated and exposed did not need to quarantine. And you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Melanie Lekasevic is reporting for Columbia Green Media. Two people are vying for town supervisor in the Clabrick general election on November 2nd. Democrat and Working Families candidate Kathleen Proper will face off against Republican and conservative incumbent Clifford Kippy Wildgelt. Proper, 40, has lived in Columbia County her entire life. She is currently employed as the Chief Human Resources Officer for Cana Provisions, a cannabis dispensary in Lee, Massachusetts. Proper says the biggest issue in Clabrick is a lack of planning and leadership, which could transform it into a town that works for all residents, not just some. She said, and I quote, "Young people move away because they cannot afford to live here. Many people that live here commute a long distance to find good-paying jobs. Parents drive their children to the library to access the Wi-Fi because they do not have broadband at home. Our town hall is scheduled to be demolished, and there is no plan for what will be built in its place," end quote. Proper argues that she would make a good supervisor because she is honest, hardworking, and authentic. She said, and I quote, "When I set my mind to something, I don't let obstacles slow me down. I got my first job at the age of 12 and graduated from U Albany debt-free at the age of 20, end quote. Proper said she is looking forward to bringing a fresh perspective to Clabrick town leadership, if elected. Wygelt, 69, is a lifelong resident of the county. He is the owner of Gromax, a manufacturer of bagged and bulk soils located in Clabrick. He previously served as a member of the town board from 2003 to 2013. Wygelt said his top priority and area of focus is the financial well-being of the town. He said, and I quote, "It's so critically important, and it's an issue that is becoming more and more challenging as costs continue to rise. It's so important that any government live within its means and do everything possible to stretch every tax dollar as far as possible. We have a responsibility to do so," end quote. Wygelt points out that town officials have cut taxes 5 years in a row, kept spending in check, and have employed smart financial planning to maintain the town's fiscal health. As for his accomplishments, he lists infrastructure improvements, equipment upgrades for the town highway department, shared services with the county and surrounding municipalities, improvement at the town parks, the development and implementation of a new employee handbook, the addition of a new time clock system, upgrades to security features at town buildings and the park, plus the consolidation of town operations. Wygelt said he is most proud of the plans to build a new town hall and community center. And you can read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Rebecca F. Ward reports in the Times Union that New Yorkers have 60 days to comment on new rules that would allow medical cannabis patients to grow their own plants. Medical cannabis has been legal in New York for 7 years, and recreational cannabis use has been legal since April 1st this year. When the legislature legalized recreational cannabis, they also loosened rules for medical uses. Currently, New York's 150,695 medical cannabis patients must purchase the drug from 10 state-licensed suppliers. State Senator Diane Sabino said, and I quote, "The draft regulations clearly lay out a program that will allow limited home cultivation in a safe manner, preventing diversion and abuse, and allowing patients and caregivers who may be far from existing dispensaries the ability to manage their use," end quote. The public can now comment on the proposal to allow up to 3 mature and 3 immature plants per patient. The Cannabis Control Board, announcing the public comment, did not explain how the public could comment. The Marijuana Regulation and Taxation Act that passed this spring allowed limited home cultivation for medical cannabis as soon as the Office of Cannabis Management issues regulations governing it. The state law says that was supposed to happen, and I quote, "no later than 6 months after the effective date," end quote, of the law, which passed October 1st. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Also, the New York Post reported on October 19th that Albany's Labor Department issued a new guidance banning employers from testing employees for cannabis unless the worker seems visibly impaired on the job.
cannabis will be treated the same way that alcohol is, and employers can ban workers from possessing cannabis on the job. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, October 22nd. Not a very warm day today. A high of only 63 is expected at noon. Then it starts to cool off. It will be in the 50s by dark. Overnight temperatures fall to 43 degrees. Saturday will be cool and cloudy with a high of only 55 expected at noon. Overnight will be in the low 40s again. Sunday will get a little warmer, a high of 57, and will be mostly sunny. Monday will be cool, damp, and rainy. The closest possible snowfall today is 2,300 miles away in Vancouver. And the hottest temperature next week will be 63 degrees. The coldest temperature next week is looking like 38 degrees. Pollen levels for today will be low. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 4:41 a.m., low tide at 11:05 a.m., high tide again at 4:55 p.m., and low tide again at 11:44 p.m. Please keep in mind those times are for Friday, October 22nd, even though this is rebroadcast over the weekend. Sunset today will be at 6:51 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:12 a.m. And I missed the river temperature. It will be 62 degrees. Looking way up, we see things are pretty quiet. The sun has an area of high activity with potential to release some B-class flares. Solar wind speed is currently 438 kilometers per second at 4.1 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently poor for daytime and fair for nighttime conditions. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 2. Quiet. The current sunspot number is 11. And this has been the better weather, brought to you by the Catskill Maker Syndicate, who would just like to remind you it is the fall pledge drive at WGXC, and as the chilly air sets in, one way guaranteed to make you feel warm and fuzzy is to give. So why not give to your local radio station? Head on over to WGXC.org and click on Donate.
With our technical producer
DJ Popcorn
and our guest
Neva Wartell.
So today, it's just kind of this show where we get to speak with someone who's running for Greene County Legislator. So, you know, a little bit going into that, just a quick question. How was your day? Let's just start off.
Yeah, of course.
My day was, my day has been running from the minute I got up this morning.
Yeah, I get that. I'm going to be honest, I kind of slept in a bit.
For sure. Yeah. So definitely with you running for Greene County Legislator, how has that kind of, you know, impacted your new everyday life?
Goodness. Yeah, well, time has taken on a whole other dimension. And, you know, early on in the campaign, I guess I started in earnest back in April. But, you know, at that time it was like there's so much time. We have time, you know, to just like ease into it. And then things get delayed, you know, things happen as they happen. And they don't happen according to your plan necessarily.
Right.
And so then, you know, all of a sudden, oh my goodness, there's no time. This election's going to happen. You know, it's right around the corner.
Yeah. Any minute, babe.
I've noticed a lot of things are like that. It's like, oh, this is going to be so long. It's going to take forever. And then, like, when it actually happens, you're like, wait, it's here? Oh, no.
And it's like, you see things like that, and it's, like, right around the corner.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Especially, like, with different events and things of that sort. So it's, like, just the planning and amount of things that goes into a lot of stuff like that is.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's learning how to build a campaign, because this is the first time I've ever run for any kind of public office. I'm usually behind the scenes helping other people make their thing happen. And I feel comfortable with that. This is the first time that I am asking other people to help me.
Yeah.
Make my thing happen, and I'm not so comfortable with that. I'm not used to that.
You've been working for is producer the right term for what you do? Like helping people with their
Yes, I'm a producer. I'm a music producer. I'm also a radio producer.
We were talking a bit pre-show. Didn't they like make you shut down your radio for before?
Well, it's
just for a bit.
It's the rule of community radio.
Yeah, of course.
That anybody who's running for electoral office not be on the air for 60 days.
60 days.
Before
wow,
the election. Immediately after the election, everything goes back to normal. That's what I call it going back to normal.
Because you've been doing radio for quite a long time, and then it's like 60 days of not doing it, and it gave you more time to
it's
focus
hell.
On your campaign.
It's
oh,
the
really?
Worst part of this whole thing. For me, it's the hardest part. I've been doing had a show on WGXC for, my goodness, for 7 years. And this is the first time for 2 months that I'm not on the air.
Yeah,
and
but it feels
torture.
Weird, right?
Yeah, I don't
know
what
to
do.
It's like your daily routine is just completely thrown off.
And so, speaking of WGXC, basically right now what's going on is the pledge drive. And so if you want to help by, you know, keeping our young voices on the air and trying to give you guys something to listen to, giving the youth a platform, you can go to wgxc.org/donate so that you can, you know, any amount of your choosing, so that you can keep our voices on the radio and as well as support the wonderful people at WGXC. And also, I want to bring in DJ Phoebs for this conversation.
Hey, everyone. Good to be here. Neva, so
Hello,
glad
Phoebs.
You could join us today. Hey.
Thanks.
Yeah, so definitely a new up-and-running thing, especially someone who I know can do really good for this town of Catskill, that is. So, you know, speaking of Catskill, so what do you think are some improvements we can kind of make within the town?
And if I could ask, if you do get elected, what's the first thing you're going to try to improve?
I want to make space, help create space for the people to have a voice. Mm-hmm. That for me, that's the primary thing, that the people have to be actively engaged and involved in the political process. The people have to be heard. And that's how we know, and any lawmaking body needs to take its lead from the people. Not the other way around. It has to be bottom from the bottom up, from the roots.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Up, And I mean, I think that we have to examine our priorities, but our priorities have to be based on the real needs of real people.
Right.
And yeah, and I think that's great, especially since you've worked with radio, you've been helping people out. Let me ask you on this. Do you think any of your skills from working as a producer for, I believe, 40 plus years, do you think that can equate to legislator at all?
I do think so. Mm-hmm. I think that I have a perspective not only, I mean, I'm definitely the oddball in the group, you know, and that's fine. I like being the oddball.
Yeah.
Because I have a whole other skill set to bring to the legislature that that they've never experienced before. You know, not only in terms of my perspective, but in terms of my life experience. I mean, at this point, okay, I'm a senior. I have physical disabilities. I'm a renter, not a homeowner.
Mm-hmm.
I have a whole different perspective. Plus, I have lived in a variety of different countries. I don't know how many of the other legislators speak Spanish or other languages, you know. Oh. And I've in the course of my work in music and radio production, my circle is very broad, very international,
right,
and very I guess you could say roots.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a my framework.
Yeah.
And my context mm-hmm. that I come from is very different.
Yeah, it sounds right. Like you can really speak for a lot of people and hear their voices, and I think that's something that I really appreciate.
Well, more than me speaking for other people, I would want to empower people to speak for themselves.
That's a very good way to put it.
And then I would advocate for those voices.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, I like to put it that way.
So, I do have something from your Facebook page that I want to directly quote that kind of goes in to your campaign. So, this is a direct citing. This is a quote from you. I just want to, you know, run through quick. How have our incumbent, I don't really know how to say the word, but legislators set the bar for development, in quotations, and how could a forward-thinking legislator raise it? I want to hear from you, the folks who live here. What kinds of businesses do you think would be appropriate for the Exit 21 traffic corridor between Catskill and Leeds? Our taxpayers are tired of being fleeced by the country, by the county, actually. Had enough of the raw deal. Isn't it time for a Green New Deal? And that's kind of your slogan now, right. a Green New Deal.
Green with an E.
Right.
Oh, but for Green County?
Yeah, but it's taking from the Green New Deal.
Right.
Because I believe that we can have progress without gentrification. I believe that we can develop our infrastructure and our economy without damaging the environment. Mm-hmm. That we can, and most importantly, I think we have to focus on the quality of life
right.
of the people who live here, and we have to focus on improving conditions and improving opportunities for the people who are already here, not for the tourists, you know, focusing
right.
on a tourist economy. You know, I yeah. believe that if people are happy where they live,
right,
that is going to be a draw in itself. People are going to mm-hmm. want to come here because, like,
for
what's
sure.
going on
right.
in Catskill? What's going on in Greene County that everybody's
wants to
doing
be down
so
here
well
for.
That, you know, I think that we can have a thriving population, we can have a thriving economy if
right.
we choose our priorities correctly
mm-hmm.
and if we communicate with each other. You know, one of the other things that I would want, what I would do, and this is something that I would do whether or not I'm successful in the election, is to create like citizen advisory councils.
Oh.
So that mm-hmm. When something is under discussion, for example, in the legislature, to bring it to the community and say, well, this is what's being discussed. How do you feel about this? And how can the people discuss among themselves and come to a decision about what they want. You know, and maybe some people will say, well, you know, I've done some research about this and I happen to know this, yeah. Or this is something that I've discovered in the course of looking into this question, and have a back and forth, have real communication. Because, again, as I said before, the legislature needs to be led by what the people need and what the
right.
people
yeah.
want.
So I think this actually ties into another question I saved for you. So I've heard a lot of discourse around a lot of people wanting to keep Catskill as a village, but we do have enough citizens to classify it as a city.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to ask you, what do you think we should do? Do you think we should?
Well, that's a question for the village and
yeah.
the town. It's not
yeah.
really a question for the county. I mean,
yeah.
Everything is so antiquated here, and that's one of the problems that we have, because there are there's a lot of regulations and legislation that is based on the original charter.
Yeah.
Which is,
yeah.
you know, ancient.
And see, it's like, I see that a lot, especially with our school systems and things like that, and a lot of buildings, they're so set in stone to those old rules and old customs that were up back then, that they're just so afraid of new change to see how that new school system would work. And especially now that we've fought for more rights for not only gay and trans people, black people, like many different people in many different communities, that, you know, things are much more different now.
Exactly.
And I know
yeah.
some schools have been working hard to get new bathrooms, especially for those
oh, yeah.
who are trans
uh-huh.
mm-hmm. and would like to use a gender-neutral bathroom or share a bathroom with those who gender they identify with, and they should want to be comfortable within the
yeah.
school
mm-hmm.
and things of that sort. So, but some of those schools some schools don't want to have to make that change.
That's a very important thing, is don't want to have to. I think that's something that I wanted to say, is that it's a matter of convenience. If it's convenient to say, that's just the way it is. I think a lot of stuff that happens in Greene County in general is, you know, things are done the way they're done because that's how they've always been done. So why,
yeah.
you know.
So why change now?
Why change it? Why challenge it? Well, you know, the world is very different now. And there's a lot we can do to improve our economy,
yeah.
our community, our quality of life. All of these things, we have to be up for the challenge, you know, and
right.
not be
yeah.
afraid of it, and or not be intimidated by it, or not be lazy about it. I think there's just a lot of we can't be bothered that goes
yeah.
on.
A lot of people, I have the experience of seeing, a lot of people are also almost afraid of change.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure,
it's
yeah.
like, how would they look at our school? How would they view those new bathrooms, those changes
yeah.
to our school, those
One
new
thing
customs? How
that
would they?
I don't understand why people disagree with is gender-neutral bathrooms in general. Like, especially people who advocate for keeping just two bathrooms.
Yeah.
I don't get the big deal with adding a third
yeah,
bathroom.
Me? And some of the thing is, too, they have the budget to do it.
Yeah.
But they just spend it on careless things.
Yeah.
And that is on the local level. That's on the county level.
Right.
That's on the
yeah.
state level. It's on the national level.
And
you know, that seems to be
yeah.
the prevailing attitude.
And especially with budget, too, we could have much more down here for the youth, too. We get so many grants and things that come in and so many deals and laws and things that get passed, but like we barely get any opportunities for the youth to really shine within those. We could get so many new things. Like they literally took the community center from us. We could put that back, and there's so many other like stables of the community and things we could build to
yeah.
like really give the youth a place in Catskill
mm-hmm.
or even in Hudson, places like that, to give like the kids an actual place to where they consider that they're able to go, you know,
they feel safe
mm-hmm.
at, like I said,
yeah
spot.
Yeah.
I feel like another thing people do is a lot of kids, right, they are not living in the perfect homes. So
right.
it's very good for our community to have a safe spot for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's great. And with the community center shut down, I was curious if you would advocate for a community center being.
Well, I think every community
yeah.
needs
every community should have
a well-functioning. I think not only should we have a community center, but I think that any community center that's truly a center for the community should have a whole bunch of programs that
based on different things
that our community center never even developed to that point.
Yeah.
I think that it really needs to be a hub for all kinds of activity, not just for youth, but for adults of all ages, for people of all ages and abilities. I mean, that's really what a community center should be.
And especially with it being called the community center. Like,
yeah, it's in its name.
Right.
It should have thrived more than it did. Well, and the fact that it did get bought out, unfortunately, due to the fact that COVID hit and things literally happened because kids didn't want to go anymore. You know, kids barely left the house. I know some of my friends, like, and a lot of different people, were literally in their house for months on end and just didn't even leave their room or didn't leave their house, lost motivation, failed school. Like, so many different things that played into it because of, you know, COVID, and it had such a huge impact on especially some local businesses, smaller businesses that didn't really have the profit to really stay up, you know.
And a lot of families were, you know, working parents couldn't work. And then, you know, you've got young kids and there's no child care. Child care is another very important thing that we lack. Not only in Catskill, but throughout the county. And so, you know, working parents, working families are stuck all the time with having to make some really, really tough choices. Mm-hmm. And sometimes those options aren't even there. And, you know, that's something that needs to be addressed.
And especially with the community center, it could have been much more than it was.
Sure.
But it was such a good center in the beginning. Like, there, we had a bunch of, like, really kind-hearted people surrounding us, a lot of great youth. You know, there was so much for us to do there. It was like, such a, like, a newer thing within the community, especially because this was when I was younger we had this.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I was, like, 13. It's, like, the last time I remember really going. Mm-hmm. So I haven't really gone since then. So it was really just like, you know, we were going back and forth. And so it was basically the alternation between here in the clubhouse. And when I had found the clubhouse, it was just like, you know, that was where I really felt was that I had found where I really thought I belonged.
Yeah.
Because, like, there's, you know, a balance of different communities here than there was at the community center. Mm-hmm. And the community center was like, you know, it was meant to bring the youth together more. And it was more centered toward, like, the main idea, which was keeping, like, you know, keeping the youth out of trouble and giving them some place to really express themselves and give them an outlet of different things and, you know, just different expression and kind of showing them what it would be like to really, you know, be able to stay out of that stuff. Or, like, you know, they had athletes going there, different things, different kids that coming, like, you know, straight from school there, different various programs, many field trips. Like, you know, it was like a really good thing that just couldn't stay up because, you know, it just wasn't supported enough.
Right. I know. And that's a crime. You know, it's a crime against the community that places like that need to be supported more, to be funded so that they can fulfill the role that they're supposed to play in the community.
Right. And it was like such a big staple in our community too, because especially with it being right there on Main Street, it's kind of like, with Main Street being one of the main
kind
of areas, especially for, like, the new tourists that come in, or, like, whoever's coming down here, even just to go to, like, New York restaurant or something simple like that. Like, for their first, like, little experience of what, like, smaller towns are like, or, like, going through and kind of seeing what this community is like, or getting a feel.
Yeah, like, what's the community about?
Exactly.
Like, a new job, a new area, and, like, especially with it being right there next to, like, the corner store, if you guys know that central area.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that's all that stuff being right there on one block was kind of like where everything was sort of cemented, and that's kind of how I saw it. And it was just like, you know, like, having to see, like, a new purpose for, like, that building just doesn't sit right with me, kind of.
Yeah.
Because like,
I feel like a community center, adding on to what she said, it's so important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially for the youth.
Yeah.
So I do have to wrap this convo up. We will be getting into another segment. But before then, we have to play our 6:30 news, and we will be literally right back.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Daniel Moritz Rabson reports for New York Focus that the Department of Corrections and Community Supervision is resisting oversight, according to lawmakers and watchdog organizations. The story says that, and I quote, the Correctional Association of New York cannot currently conduct monitoring of state prisons and had to abort a September visit to one prison, end quote. David Weprin, a Democrat from Queens who chairs the State Assembly's Committee on Correction, says he is, and I quote, deeply disturbed, end quote, by the conduct of the Department of Corrections and Community Supervision. Weprin said, and I quote, we want them to be as unrestricted as possible so they can do their job and effectively get us the most independent picture of what's actually really going on, end quote. Correctional Association of New York Executive Director Jennifer Shea says the group's oversight capacities had been limited since 2004. This year, though, in 2021, the legislature passed a bill opening up prison records, the ability to visit prison facilities without advance notice, and the possibility of court action if the prison agency failed to respect the organization's new charter. But former Governor Andrew Cuomo weakened the law, requiring that the Correctional Association of New York give prisons 3 days' notice before visiting a facility and have its oversight members sign a waiver. Prison officials are now trying to weaken the law, saying information obtained during visits cannot be used in lawsuits, and they also want to, and I quote, indefinitely, end quote, ban visitors they deem to have violated any security procedures or other issues. Current Governor Kathy Hochul, though, won't address the issue so far. Hazel Crampton Hayes, the governor's press secretary, said, and I quote, Governor Hochul is committed to improving transparency and restoring trust in government, and we have directed all agencies, including DOCCS, to develop plans to be more transparent, end quote. Read more about this story at New York Focus. Raymond Pignon from Columbia Green Media rounds up information about the candidates running for seats on the new Baltimore Town Board. Thomasina Winslow, Shelley Van Eaton, and Kelly C. Downs are competing for 2 seats on the board. Winslow is a new Baltimore-based musician and music educator running on the Democratic and Working Families line on the ballot and attended university at Albany. Winslow was a board member of Hudson River Sloop Clearwater Incorporated and the Tribe Hill Heritage Center. Winslow said, and I quote, transparency is a concern in that there really is not much communication. What I'm looking forward to accomplishing is having a positive, collaborative town board that works together to keep our community safe and forward-thinking, end quote. Van Eaton lives in New Baltimore and co-owns an excavating company and is running on the Republican and conservative lines and has been on the board since 2013. Van Eaton said, and I quote, I think we need to address the infrastructure for Water District 2. We have received a grant to do so and are currently working on the project. We are also working to redo the parks, end quote. Van Eaton added, and I quote, I am most proud of the work that we have done on the parks. It was a lot of work to get the grant money, but it is a major upgrade to our community, and I see people enjoying it all the time. I am also very proud of my Veterans Committee. We have had several picnics and luncheons for the veterans and always get a great turnout, end quote. Downs from Climax is a retired state internal auditor and is running on the Republican and conservative ballot lines and has been on the board since 2018. Downs said, and I quote, I feel taxes are an issue for our landowners. Unfortunately, as a town board member, we cannot control taxes imposed by the state or the school districts. If I am elected, I will continue to work on reducing town taxes as we have done for the last 8 years, end quote. He added, and I quote, With being an auditor, your mindset is always how to make the process better and more efficient and ensuring the safeguarding of town assets and monies. Along with these skill sets comes the talent of working on decreasing the risk that the town may have, which includes the development of policies and procedures that allow for complete transparency. End quote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. WGRZ reports that Governor Kathy Hochul signed a bill October 19th requiring documents that are discussed at meetings to be made available to the public upon request or posted to the public body's website at least 24 hours prior to the meeting. Previous to this law, local town boards often vote on laws without the public able to read the text beforehand. The Village of Catskill recently passed a short-term rental regulation bill and would not post the text publicly for a week after the vote. That all changes now. Hochul said, and I quote, "At a minimum, I believe that every government agency in the state of New York that's subjected to the open meeting law should provide this information because the best constituents we have are informed constituents," end quote. She went on to say, and I quote, "They have a right to know what's on the agenda. They have a right to contact their elected officials and to share their concerns. And in cases where the information is not available until the last minute or at the meeting, that denies the public of what I believe they are rightly entitled to," end quote. Read more about this story at the WGRZ website. And that wraps up the WGXE News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXE.org. From the WGXE Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
Yo, yo, yo.
Hello, everybody. We're back.
I'm DJ Popcorn.
I'm Winter.
And I'm Neva.
So, yeah. So, we're back now, guys. You were just listening to Nardo Wick, Who Wants Smoke. And basically, I want to just remind you guys quickly that all views expressed on Clubhouse Radio are our truth and may not represent the views and opinions of the Clubhouse's parent organization, the Mental Health Association of Columbia Green. So, back to this. So, I kind of wanted to get back into the conversation a bit by kind of starting with how I saw on your Facebook about you supporting the community initiative.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people putting some hard work into this petition to, you know, get a new skate park within Catskill. So how do you feel a skate park can kind of, you know,
like
be a good thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, first of all, it's physical activity. There.
Oh, yeah.
What are the opportunities for the youth of Catskill who are older than like the children who use the playground,
right,
say,
yeah,
at Dutchman's Landing, or not necessarily on a sports team,
right,
to use Elliott Park. You know, what is there for people to do, for young folks to do, that involves physical exercise, which is good for the brain, and also physical,
yeah,
exercise, coordination, fun, competition, that's got all these things, and not even just for young people. I mean, a skate park could be for all ages. It's an opportunity for people to have fun in a safe setting. And, depending on where it is and what it encompasses, it's healthy fun for the community. It's outdoor healthy fun for the community.
Yeah. And I think it's definitely a good step.
For sure.
Yeah.
I had a couple of questions if I can jump in.
I was just about to bring you back in.
Yeah.
Perfect.
and actually, some of these interviews are questions are from our staff, because I let folks know you were coming in today, Neva. And, you know, for folks who don't know, Clubhouse, the Catskill Clubhouse is a space that does function sort of as a general community center hangout space, but we have a pretty strong focus on recovery and harm reduction around substance use. And I just had read in the Hudson Valley 360 that we're expected to get about $1.2 million in Greene County from the opioid settlement fund in New York State that's come through.
Right.
And so one of our staff folks was wondering, you know, if you have a sense of what you can do at the county level to make sure that funding is going toward actual recovery services that serve the community. And in general, I'd love to hear your perspective on how to deal with substance abuse issues in the community.
Okay. Well, first of all, it is the responsibility of the legislature to make sure that funding like that is utilized properly and utilized in a productive way, and not just, you know, thrown into some project that's, you know, ultimately going to either benefit just a small number of people or ultimately going to fail or whatever. And we have an opioid crisis, as everyone knows, and we have a mental health crisis. And I think that it's extremely important to focus not just the pandemic settlement money, but in general, we need to expand our mental health services and our health services in general. So, but mm-hmm. it is the responsibility of the legislature to make sure that our priorities are going to benefit the people.
Yeah. I mean, this feels like the kind of example of the sort of idea what you were saying earlier about having, you know, community members participate in legislative decision making differently than what was the term you used? It was council groups or
citizen advisory groups.
Yeah, I love that. The citizen advisory groups, like, you know, this is such a great example. I feel like so many times money like this will come down the pike, and the people directly impacted by the issues are the last people to be invited
exactly.
to the table.
Yeah.
They
have to be first. The people have to come first, always.
And a lot of the organizations that have the most influence and power end up getting the money that comes down the pike instead of maybe new programs that could be started with new funding. But like, that's also your point. It's a lot of times government is defaulting to what's there and what's normal. Oh, this organization's already big. They can do contracts. It's easy. It's harder to have for a county to innovatively start a grant program for new recovery programs. But I'm excited that your campaign is sort of willing to, you know, think outside the box, do more creative things, engage people, and more proactively support the community.
Yeah.
So.
Well, thanks. I mean, the box is not good enough anymore. The box is the box does not serve, the majority.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, the box was invented by people who want to keep others outside the box. And so, you know, we have to get rid of the box. That's my perspective anyway, ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like to look at things as, you know, in terms of the out, you know, society is structured so that there's the inside and the outside group. and I believe in the out, bringing the outside in. You know? Okay. That's, you know, there's just flip the script, as they say. You know?
Yeah.
So I don't know if that answers your question in terms of, you know, the opioid crisis and the, you know, how to deal with it.
Yeah, I think a part of it, too, is ensuring, you know, our leaders have a handle on what harm reduction is and can advocate for that effectively, because that's also kind of a newer way of addressing substance use issues that, that we support heavily at the Clubhouse and, you know, can also run into some political issues sometimes. People have, it's a big shift to go from criminalization and punishment orientation toward harm reduction. So. Yeah.
Right, exactly. But, you know, there are issues called a public safety committee on the legislature, and you know, it has to be made clear that you know, public safety issues you know, aren't necessarily resolved by, you know, by more policing. That's not the answer. That's usually the answer they come up with, you know. That's not the answer. If the people have more control and have a voice in solutions, bringing solutions to the problems in the community, then they're more likely to be successful.
Yeah,
you know, and I think we've seen that throughout history. That, you know, people have to be involved in part of the decision making process. You know, that's just the way. That's when that's how progress is made.
Yeah, well, I agree. Especially with everything, in any aspect of, you know, our communities, is like, if you don't want to be involved within, you know, your community, you're not gonna know what's going on, and you're not gonna be in tune. So when some huge wrong decision is made by, you know, the board or, you know, people like the higher ups and things of that sort, they make like a really wrong decision, something that could be very bad, especially for our town.
And I think,
because I know, you know,
yeah, and a lot of this is definitely does come from lack of communication or selfish motivation too.
Yeah,
and I think it's great that you're striving for just more open communication, and I think that's great, because I agree with you. If you do have the people's sense of what to do, and you advocate towards that, and you push towards that, then change for the better will follow.
Right.
And I mean, this is when a community center can really fulfill its mission. You know, when it's understood who is the community? What is the community? What is it all about? But I think that the youth, having the youth, we need our young people to be involved in local politics. We need our young people to be involved in the political process. You know, our elected leaders need to know that the next generation is paying attention, because whatever we do as legislators is going to affect your generation. So we need your voices in this whole picture.
For sure, because you don't want any wrong decisions made, so make sure you get involved.
And
but, you know.
Fortunately, soon we do have to wrap up. It's approaching the 7 o'clock. But I have one last small question, just a personal question. What's your favorite thing to do in Greene County for fun?
What's my favorite? My favorite thing to do in Greene County for fun is to play music for listeners over the airwaves of WGXC. That really is my favorite thing to do.
I think that's great.
Right.
It's unfortunate because with the thing. But come November 2nd. It's great that you're in. Yeah.
Right. I'll be back on the air November 7th.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
So, thank you guys for listening. Catch us next. We begin every Friday at 6 p.m. on WGXC. You know, you can join us here at the Catskill Youth Clubhouse to start programming our radio show every Thursdays, you know. And you can also come on Friday, too, if it's not too late. And if you want to, you know, you can email us at ourtownourtruth@gmail.com. That is OURTOWNOURTruth@gmail.com. And also, you can go to our Instagram to contact us as well, because I think that's like the main way you can kind of contact us now. That's at C2 Clubhouse. C, number two, that is Clubhouse. And also, time for some shout-outs. Big shout-out to WGXC. Make sure you can, you know, you can go and donate at WGXC.org/donate to keep our voices on the radio and make sure that we're heard. Shout out to Noah, Phoebes, and especially Neva for being on today. You were such a great guest. Thank you for giving us a great show today.
Thank you.
Very good show. I had a very great time talking with you.
Thank you to the listeners. Thank you to the Mental Health Association of Columbia Green. Shout out to you guys. And Phoebes.
Hey, shout out to Election Day, November 2nd. Whatever your views.
Your voice matters.
Your voice matters, exactly.
Show up. Just show up. Whoever you're voting for, just show up and vote.
Mm-hmm. Your voice matters.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, and huge gratitude, Neva Wartell, running for Green County Legislator.
Right.
The People for a Green New Deal is the campaign. Yeah. Check it out.
Yeah.
That's right.
So.
And one shout out.
See, Clubhouse Media. That's Clubhouse our YouTube. Media. Make sure you sub to us. We're trying
help
to
help us get our pizza party.
Yeah, we're getting a party of 50 subs.
we're trying to hit that 50 subscriber mark. We're already at 25. So yeah, thank you guys for listening this week. It's been a great show. Thank you, Neva, Noah, Phoebes. So yeah, basically, we're off. Make sure you guys stay positive. No pun intended. And yeah. Wear your mask, please. Remember, Election Day, November 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure that you cast your vote, because if you don't speak now, your voice will not be heard.
And have a great night, everybody.
Thank you.
Peace.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much.